Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
At our church, we have people repeat a prayer who want to place their faith in Christ.
Jesus did all the hard part. He did everything but pray your prayer.
I'm going to ask you just to pray with me right now. Just say these words with me.
You can say those words every day for the rest of your life and die and be separated from God.
The scripture does not say that Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel and said that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, who would like to ask me into their hearts?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Top down? Or bottom up? That is the question. This is Wretched Radio. Have you noticed Western civilization is different than the world you and I grew up in? And I think the conclusion of most would be it ain't for the better. Morality has changed. Unity, almost non-existent. Safety, common sense. What happened here? And we all lament the changing of the guard in a Western civilization. And we ask the question, how do you get back? How do we return? How does a nation that was once so good, and by good, I don't mean having a strong GDP, and by good, I don't mean that we are generating tons of money from tariffs, which we are actually. Those aren't the things that make a nation great. What does morality, values, treatment of neighbors are good for the entire globe? The morality, these are the things that make a nation truly great. And it is clear those things are at the very least under assault, if not fully compromised. We're at the point we can't even tell the difference between genders. I mean, yikes. And we all want the train to be back on the tracks. The question is, how does it get there? If we are going to, air quotes, return to a better America, what's the path? Is it top down or bottom up? Does a train that has derailed get back on the tracks because it's commanded to get back up there? Or does it desire to get back on track because the populace, the overwhelming majority of the people, desire it be back on the tracks? I would submit to you the answer is the latter. The government can't put the morality train back on the track. These are things that are too deep. People's sexuality, their worldview, their expressive postmodern worldview that has them so darkened in their thinking. If the government can bark, all right, stop it. Start thinking better. Here's the law that's going to make that happen. Well, okay, it's going to help to a degree because people are going to be afraid of violating a law for fear of punishment. But that's not the same as the collective saying, let's be like this. This is the path forward. Let's get this bad boy back on track. Does a nation change top down or bottom up? Providentially, was reading three articles, all really, really are just really good writing, really, really good writing. And they all identified the same lament that I think all of us have. It's different. We wanted to go back. And they did a phenomenal job of doing the research to support the premise that we are a different country and not for the better. And they identified what they called the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem. They were onto it. And they were presenting a bottom-up solution. The fundamental problem is the religion has changed. We're not predominantly a Judeo-Christian driven culture. We've simply abandoned that in so many ways. Now there's some of us obviously left, at least half, I hope. But we've changed religion. And because we've changed religion, the culture is crumbling around us because it is the Christian faith, specifically the Protestant Christian faith, that made America great for the first time. They identified this, and yet I couldn't help but notice as they went about then giving a prescription, offering a solution, they didn't return to their premise and their conclusion that the fundamental problem is religion. Because if the fundamental problem is religion, Meaning, if we want to be a bottom-up nation, that means the majority of us need to be believing, not just thinking, not just holding a political card, but believing fundamental values, not just the outworking of them, but the standards for what is good, right, and true. We have to all believe those things. How do people believe them? How do they believe them? The answer is conversion. They need to get saved. And yet, as much as I enjoyed these three articles, none of them said, that's what we got to get back to. Instead, they said, we've got to, really, they almost led more toward a top-down solution. You know, we've got to start teaching this in the schools. We've got to start having a government that does this. Politicians who will. And as best I can observe, that's top down. And even when they said, yeah, the problem is religion, specifically a lack of belief in the Christian religion, they didn't offer the solution of evangelism. And I wonder if my assessment of their writing is accurate. I wonder how many of us suffer from that same malady, that we see the problem, we even understand the solution, but we fail to appropriate the cure. Let me share with you these three articles. This is from the American Spectator. Again, excellent work. Really, excellent. I don't know that I disagreed with any or much of it. But see if you notice the correct observation, identifying the correct solution, but then not implementing it. From the one article, the enemies of Western civilization are uncivilized, godless heathens. Accept this. Do not pretend that the demon possessed can be reasoned with or persuaded by words. I agree they can't be persuaded. Some will be persuaded by words. They get, you know, knocked upside the head with a difficult circumstance. It might cause them to rethink some things. I think we're seeing some of that. But overall, I agree. You believe in illicit intimacy wherever and whenever you want to. I'm not going to talk that person out into being abstinent. They got to have a heart change. That's what they need. The article continues. It is time to fully grasp that the America first voters seek will not come through persuasion alone. Okay. All right. So what's it going to be? But through elected leadership and the power of the state to impose that vision and crush violence. That's top down. It's top down. You just said it's a spiritual problem, and now you're saying it's a government solution. It's not. In fact, the article actually says, ultimately, America has a spiritual problem. It started as a Christian nation giving glory to God and standing firm in her convictions, and a good half of the nation remains Christian today. Okay, amen. I agree with you. America has a spiritual problem. So doesn't that mean there should be a spiritual solution? Article number two, written by a Gen Zer. It was, you can tell good writing. You really can. There's a reason some journalists are notable. They just write weller than the rest of us do. So this was a Gen Zer. I thought did a really good job of identifying what the assassination of Charlie Kirk has done to Gen Z. But listen to this quote nearing the end of the article. Americans finding faith again is the only thing that can recreate the bedrock of this country. It is italicized. The most important piece of our history that we've lost. And Charlie realized that over time. But while we find our faith, we also need to reassert basic rules in the marketplace of ideas. Shaming those who celebrate Kirk's murder is a great place to start. I think all of our energy should go into conversion. Yeah, be involved in power. I'm not, like, okay, maybe not all of our energy. We've got other stuff to do. But isn't this our calling? Isn't this our mandate? Isn't this the way that Christ expands his spiritual kingdom? Isn't that our primary residence in the kingdom of God? Yes, salt, light, of course. Yes, voting, political engagement as you see fit, but that's not going to fix the problem. If we've got a spiritual problem, then the solution is obvious. We need to get help. My voice is almost better from the Oklahoma trip. We need to go. There it is. We need to go. I'll just do that a few more times until you actually turn this off. To evangelize the world while going, make disciples, make the most of every opportunity. Be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. That's what, and if we do that, if we focused, what if we focused all of our energy on that? And what if we did see a genuine revival breakout because we're just become witnessing maniacs? We all turn into little Ray Comforts. That's actually impossible because his height. The point is, if we were all dedicated and strategizing, how can I be a kingdom expander? How can I be a part of the solution, which is spiritual, by sharing the gospel of Jesus? What can I do? What you do ain't what I do. What you do ain't necessarily what I do. But we should all be doing something because if the problem is spiritual, the solution is spiritual. And what will cure what ails us must come from the bottom up and not the top down. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Important dates in Christian history. 1559. John Knox returns to Scotland to lead Reformation there after a period of exile in Calvin's Geneva. Knox founded the Presbyterian Church, which became a driving force in English politics and the American Revolution.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So you want America to be great again, do you? This is Wretched Radio. Let's define great. It isn't the strength of our military. It is the strength of the character of its citizens. What we believe, how we act, how we treat one another, those are the things that make a nation great. And it appears we're not as great as we used to be. We're going bonkers. And we all want America to be what America once was. Yeah, false, of course. How naive is it to think, well, that system must be worth deconstructing because it wasn't absolutely pristine and perfect. Well, that's to fail to remember. That's right, fail to remember that people aren't perfect. And no system until Jesus reigns theocratically will be perfect. It can't be perfect because sinners are involved in it. And yet we recognize that the way we were, with or without Barbara Streisand, is better than the way that we is. Dr. Oz Guinness. I like Oz. He's a big thinker, and I like him. I got to spend time with Oz Guinness years and years ago when he came to town he was doing a conference with the radio station that I was at. And he continues to be a big thinker. Would like to share with you a wonderful essay that he wrote titled Our Civilizational Moment. And Oz rightly identifies the problem. Now, I wish that Oz had used more biblical language to define the solution. Nevertheless, this just emphasizes what I think we all are beginning to understand. Some of us have understood this for a long time. Others are starting to go, wait a second. This isn't just about politics. This isn't just about the education system. Fundamentally, the problem here is faith. From Oz Guinness, who's a magnificent thinker. It would be a cardinal mistake, writes Guinness, to overlook the deepest cause of all of the deterioration of our society. The animating force that once made the West the West. This deterioration is happening because the faith that gave vitality and unity to Western civilization has become enervated and are contested or rejected entirely today. That is a correct observation. I affirm that. I amen that. Guinness, the challenge for the West is not simply to discern the moment. It faces a multitude of questions that are bound up with the ideas, ideals, and faith that created it. These questions must be answered if the Western twilight is not to end in night, but rather in a dawn worthy of the best ideals of the West. And so he is again affirming, if you don't have people that share the same values, you don't have a nation that can thrive. Now, what causes those values to be shared? And that is the same belief system. And because we don't possess that anymore, we are in the midst. I guess every historian will make their observation, but I think we're in the midst of a civil war. Not a lot of shots. Some shots are being fired. But overall, this is an ideological war that is dividing a nation because we no longer have a common faith. From Oz Guinness, how's the West doing in grounding and transmitting these ideals to the next generation, in living them out in daily life? See, here's where I wish. Love Oz to pieces. I just wish that he would use the foundational issue as opposed to the fruit of the foundation. The foundation is regeneration, genuine conversion, somebody who believes in Jesus Christ. The fruit of that is the ideal that comes from it, how we treat one another, genuine social progress. Those things have to come from the bedrock of the faith. So when Oz says, how are we doing in transmitting those ideals? I want to say, well, hold on a second. Before we can transmit those ideals, we need to transmit the faith that produces those ideals. So that we just don't talk about trying to scream at a tree to bear fruit when the root needs to be addressed. Back to Oz. Do these ideals still need roots and nutrients? Or can they just be inserted and left floating in the air? Has the West become a cut flower civilization? In other words, when the flower gets cut, it blooms for a bit. You know, it still looks pretty nice. But then, of course, we know that it withers. And there are people who are observing America. Western civilization is a cut flower. Yeah, we got remnants, but it's dying. Are Western ideals, in fact, solidly grounded in the ideas that Westerners espouse today? And are Westerners even aware of how the West came into being? See, I would write that differently. I would say, just to re-paraphrase this, is our Western faiths solidly grounded in the faith that Westerners espouse? Not the ideals, not the fruit, not the application, but the foundation. And so the observation here is correct. We've strayed away from that. I just think that we all of us, and that includes me, all of us need to be, I think, mindful of the difference between root and fruit for the solution to the problem. And if we aren't working primarily on the root, I don't care what you do to the fruit. You can't put enough pesticides on a rotten tree if it is rotting from beneath the soil. Oz Guinness, he writes this, "The questions of our time run deep. What, therefore, is the vision of life that should inspire us, the master story of history that should shape us, and the ground of the foundational trust that is our confidence, that we, behind the word us, being nations and civilizations as well as individuals, without a comprehensive and constructed vision of life," well, see, vision of life, I would say faith. Faith, not just vision of life, not just all ascribing to conservative political values or even conservative moral and social values, but faith. We need to share that. That's the foundation. Without a comprehensive and constructive vision of life, there can be no unity, only disintegration. Without an overarching master story, there can be no prophetic interpretation, only conflicts and confusion. In other words, the place is going to fall apart. Without a profound, rational, and responsible faith, there can only be faltering and civilizational decline. The aforementioned things that are lacking come from the lack of faith. The rise of the modern West, Oz Guinness observes, the civilizations of antiquity considered Europe to be a cultural backwater, rocky outcrop, northern, western end of the great Asian landmass. So how did it come to dominate the world, including the great civilizations that preceded it? Was the sudden rise due to Europe's armies, political power, its economy, rule of law? No, writes Guinness. It was Europe's religion that fueled the political, cultural, scientific, and technological development that facilitated its remarkable ascent. Amen, Oz! There it is. So if that is what facilitated all of that, we need to be focusing on that. Not what it facilitates, but what generates it. And that, of course, is the Christian faith. Western religion, said Guinness, the Christian faith was not European in origin, but Jewish and therefore Middle Eastern. But it had grown to be the official faith of Rome, declared by the Emperor Theodosius in 380 AD. It wasn't Constantine. He made it legal. Theodosius, several decades later, he said, this is the religion of the state. And that conversion of the barbarian kingdoms over the next centuries created Christendom and brought the Christian faith to the whole of Europe. But for all of the influence of its fearless explorers, sailors, traders, and missionaries, Christian Europe had never dominated the world up until the, get ready for this, my Roman Catholic friends, the 16th century. What happened then was the revolutionary burst of the Christian faith known as the Protestant Reformation. Scholars have remarked that the ideas of the Reformation, boosted by the invention of the printing press and the wider accessibility of the Bible, created the modern world. In other words, the West became the West from the bottom up. And that is why, if we can affirm that, agree on that, then the solution becomes obvious, doesn't it? He writes, the worldwide impact that Protestant Christianity had was due to Europe's great exports, agricultural, industrial revolutions, the development and applications of science and technology, and the market economy. These innovations would have been impossible without the West Christian faith, which powered the necessary assumptions for their development. No people or generation in all of history has ever seen such a tide of progress. Amen and amen. If you amen that, then you should amen this. You need to get busy. If you don't like the shape of the West, if you want civilization to be different, perfectly fine desire. If you have amened the correct diagnosis of the problem that we are lacking in Christian conversions, then I would encourage you to think through your priorities, do some reconnaissance and create a strategy so that you can be a part of the solution, which is evangelism. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A filmmaker in California has learned the hard way that documenting free speech apparently makes you a criminal, at least outside of a Planned Parenthood. The Emmy-winning documentarian, Dan Brown Jr., was handcuffed, shoved in a hot police car for over an hour, and his cameras were seized all for filming street preachers outside of a California Planned Parenthood. The transgender ideology house of cards continues collapsing worldwide as Australia's Northern Territory just became the first jurisdiction down under to ban men from women's prisons. Full stop. The chief minister put it bluntly, saying, if you're born a bloke, you go into a men's prison. This comes after a convicted pedophile who abused his 5-year-old daughter suddenly discovered he was female to get into a women's facility. Meanwhile, here at home, medical professionals are exploiting HIPAA laws to hide gender transitions from parents. A new Do No Harm report reveals hospitals are denying parents access to their 13-year-old's medical records, while Epic and Oracle, who control 60% of electronic health records, push inclusive care that lets kids fill out organ inventories and pronoun preferences. Children's Hospital in D.C. is asking 13-year-olds in the emergency room about their sexual contact history. Speaking of ideological insanity, Canada's NDP has reached peak woke by officially referring to women as non-males. Yeah, the party claims to champion equality, but can't even say what a woman is anymore. They're also demanding half their leadership signatures come from anyone except straight white men. Yeah, with just 7 seats and 6% of the vote, you'd think they'd focus on appealing to actual voters instead of competing for the intersectionality Olympics. President Trump continues delivering wins on multiple fronts. His administration has just announced over 527,000 deportations, with another 1.6 million self-deporting. On the economic front, Trump and Japan signed a rare earth minerals pact to break China's stranglehold, plus a $550 billion investment deal that includes $100 billion for nuclear reactors, and Toyota is committing another $10 billion for U.S. auto plants. Those aren't just numbers. Those are strategic victories for America. Even big tech's feeling the pressure to abandon woke priorities. Amazon cut 14,000 corporate jobs while investing billions in infrastructure, finally admitting that bureaucratic bloat doesn't deliver customers. Google, Meta, and Amazon have all abandoned DEI quotas, recognizing that merit should win out every time. And PBS closed its diversity office to comply with Trump's executive orders while the FCC is investigating Comcast's discriminatory practices. The free market speaking loud and clear. If you go woke, you tend to go broke. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you hear that dropping sound? This is Wretched Radio. It's the day when a brand new episode of Life Without the Numb drops. That's the cool way of saying we're releasing another episode of Greg Gifford's lecture on life without the numb.
You're hip.
Barry, you know why I'm hip, Jimmy?
Why?
Because I've leveled up.
Oh.
That's right. Not exactly sure what that means, but apparently it's a good thing. Life without the numb. It is awesome. It is so helpful. It is so available for free at FortisPlus.org, and it includes a study guide that you can use inside of your church, your Sunday school, your small group. This will help so many parents deal with the issue of SSRIs, which is exactly what Lecture 7 is all about from Life Without the Numb. By the way, Jimmy, Greg was just on Ally Beth Stuckey's show.
Ah.
Yeah, spent like 90 minutes talking to her about these things. I suspect a lot of people were like, wait, what? Because this might be all new to them. If you listen to Wretched Radio regularly, which we frankly haven't found a single person who has done that. The point is, we've been talking about this subject, courtesy of Greg Gifford, who is a Fortis Fellow, because the issue is so widespread. You know people who have children on psychotropics. Maybe they themselves are taking psychotropics. And we don't want to approach this subject glibly, like, okay, get off those stupid pills and read Bible verses. The end. No, we don't want to act like that. But for the people that are indeed, in some measure, relying on psychotropics to help them with PTSD, depression, anxiety, whatever the issue is, they need hope. They need to know that there is a better way that you can live life without the numb. Take it away, Greg.
As a Christian, when you see passages like these, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, or drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach, medicine has its proper place for physical ailments. There's no guilt. There's no compromise. You're not lesser than. God has given those as a grace. But what psychotropics are doing is not exactly taking care of your body. They're not exactly fixing brain issues. You see, psychotropics are thought to affect neurotransmitters in your brain, which are affecting mood regulation, how depressed you feel, how elated you feel. But the problem is that it's unclear what exactly the psychotropic is doing. If you've heard of the chemical imbalance theory, and it's just a theory, it's unverifiable, it's not provable. This theory thought that if serotonin is low, well, then let's boost it in some way and you're not depressed anymore and ship shape, you're good to go. So now antidepressants are assumed to just help you regulate moods. But you might be surprised, or maybe not surprised, to hear of people who take antidepressants and say, all I feel is numb now. I don't feel anything. This series of Life Without the Numb is how can I move past just this blank, zombie-esque existence? How can I move past that into the vibrant life of peace and joy and contentment that the Lord has called for me? You see, psychotropics are not treating the material, they're treating the immaterial, supposedly. But biblically, we would say the psychotropic can't treat the mind. You cannot medicate the mind. What are we doing? We are tinkering with the organ of the brain.
If you recall the distinction, your brain is that organ, your mind is you. Psychotropics, they can play with the brain, but the brain ain't you.
We're not exactly sure what we're doing in the tinkering of the organ of the brain. So the question is, should a Christian take psychotropics? And let me read this so I'm cautious with my words. Psychotropics can, not necessarily should be taken if you obtain them legally and maintain God-honoring motivations while taking them. They can be, but I'm not saying they should be. You are treating the brain and you are not treating the mind if you're taking psychotropics. So let me give you a couple of framing principles and then I'll land with a key takeaway. When we talk about psychotropics, for all of the stories that we hear about how they've helped, there are equal stories about how they've not helped. So someone will come up to me and say, but Greg, my uncle started taking psychotropics and it changed their life. And I'll say, yes. And I could counter that with this other person that started taking psychotropics and their thoughts went on a downward spiral almost immediately. So before we say, hey, psychotropics are helping everyone that take them, just do your research. Do your research and look at the way that it's affecting folks. So as a Christian, do you have to wean off? Not if you have God-honoring motivations and you're obtaining them legally. I want to be clear about that. But as a Christian, you know they're not actually treating the internal person of your mind. They're treating the organ of your brain. You have that clarity. You're not sure what they're doing, but they're tinkering with neurotransmitters in some ways. So that's all you know that's happening. When should you wean off? And this is an important principle to start to work through. When you're numb, when you're a zombie. I have met people that are on so much psychotropics that they're a zombie. They cannot function. They can't go to work. They can't go to school. They're just zonked. When you're getting to that point, you're being unfaithful. Can I just say that? God has entrusted to us certain responsibilities. Me as a husband and a father of three, I can't say, I'm just staying home today. Why? Because I don't feel like going to work. I'm zonked because of my meds. I don't have that liberty. God's called me to be faithful. So if you're sensing that these psychotropics are just zonking me, I'm numb, I can't function, then maybe it is time to wean off. I think another criteria, and this is what I mentioned in the book, is that you're too keen on it or that your hope is in it. Your meds are everything. So your focus is on how much you love your meds. Your focus is on my meds. I need to take my meds. Oh, I don't have my meds. Okay, we need to start to kind of like press pause here. You don't need your meds. You need Jesus Christ. You need the Holy Spirit. And your meds may be affecting your body, but they're not causing you. And you may want to wean off if you cannot focus or you're easily distracted, struggling to focus. So key takeaway from this lecture, as you think about medication, medication for the body is appropriate, but psychotropics are not affecting your mind. Psychotropics cannot treat your mind. So if you feel it's time to wean off, work with a medical doctor to do so. Don't go cold turkey. Don't feel that you're healed and you're just going to chuck the bottle. Work with your doctor and wean off in a way that will help you adjust physically to that process. And then focus on true mind transformation.
What is that sound effect? Well, it's life without the numb. That's the end of that particular lecture. You say, I want more. I say, you'll have to wait till next week. When we drop lectures 8 and then 9 and then 10, Life Without the Numb, it's available for free. Now you say, I still have some questions. Let's see if I have some mind reading skills. That's right, mind reading skills, because after each one of the presentations on Life Without the Numb, I would approach Greg with questions that maybe you have too.
How do I know as a Christian who is struggling with an issue, has been given a prescription that I don't need it? Is there a quiz? Is there some sort of test that I can take to go, oh, I don't need these anymore? Help me to work through the process.
I think there's two answers. There's the triage answer. This person is not in their right mind and we just need to stabilize them so they can get back. And that's often where a behavioral health unit, you're put on a hold, just you gotta sleep. You got to sleep. Okay, that's triage. But on an ongoing basis, if there is not a physiological issue, if your doctor hasn't discovered something is off about your body, then you're saying it's not a body issue. So I don't need psychotropics. I need to focus on the mind and see what the mind actually does to my body.
All right, is there ever a bit of a blending in the triage and the ongoing? Where, yes. Okay, explain that.
Yes, so in the book, one of the things I say is, there are certain people that are uncounselable. They haven't slept, they haven't eaten, they're undernourished, and you just can't penetrate. They're a shadow of themselves. That person I have seen use tranquilizers or some type of sedative to just go to sleep, get rested, and get their body refreshed. But that is a crutch to help you get back on your feet and then focus on what got you to that place in the first step or time or decision.
Sorry. I'm afraid you're going to have to go to fortisplus.org if you'd like to hear the rest of that conversation. And the additional lectures, all a part of a 10-lecture series available at fortisplus.org. It is absolutely free. It has a study guide. And by the way, the book to which Greg was referencing, that would be his book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. You can find it pretty much anywhere. You can also go listen to his interview with Ali Beth Stuckey. This is an effort not to lob grenades. It's an effort to help you and give you hope if you are one of the millions of Americans who have been prescribed SSRIs. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity. People who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though it's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok, your marriage is under attack, and the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Glosson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Mexican. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is it a lie if I didn't intend to? This is Wretched Radio. Okay, I said you'd have to go to fortisplus.org if you wanted to hear the rest of the exchange between me and Dr. Greg Gifford in Lecture 7 of Life Without the Numb, but I'm just going to keep playing it because it's just too helpful. It is a needed conversation on SSRIs, and it seems to me the conversation is heating up. That Ali Beth Stuckey had Greg on, that's a good sign. That there's an increasing number of Christians that are questioning SSRIs. And there's an increasing number of secular folks who are saying, are these things really what we are purporting they are? For instance, this is reported from Reuters. Study finds young people on antidepressants more prone to violence. Uh-oh. The date of that article? 2015. We've known about this. This has been going on for a long time. It increased risks of suicide, violence, and homicide at all ages. The FDA in 2007 admitted that SSRIs can cause madness at all ages and that the drugs are very dangerous. Otherwise, daily monitoring wouldn't be needed. Quote, families and caregivers of patients should be advised to look for the emergence of such symptoms on a day-to-day basis, since changes may be abrupt. And that's scary. Why don't we hear those warnings on the TV commercials? They kind of brush by them, don't they? Back to Reuters. All patients being treated with antidepressants for any indication should be monitored appropriately and observed closely for clinical worsening, suicidality, unusual changes in behavior, especially during the first initial months, at a time of dosage changes, increases, or decreases. The following symptoms. Watch for them. Anxiety. Wait, they're supposed to help with anxiety. Agitation, panic attacks, insomnia, irritability. These are the side effects. Hostility, aggressiveness, impulsivity, akathisia, restlessness, it says in parentheses. Hypomania, mania have been reported in adult and pediatric patients being treated with antidepressants. That goes back a decade. But more and more people are starting to say, is this really helping us? 2019, 43 million Americans had an SSRI prescription. That's 1 in 8. That's huge. One study found there are only 15%, that these pills are only 15% more effective than sugar pills. Oof. From 20 to 24, the number of kids on SSRIs rose almost 65%. With use among teen girls rising 130%. Let's continue the conversation I had with Greg Giffert from Life Without the Numb on SSRIs.
Let's use a particular, recognizing there's always danger in that because there's just a broad range of issues. Somebody is, the black dog howls on their chest. It is overwhelming. And they can't find their way to the light. Can they be taking psychotropics for that?
Yes.
All right. And as they start to feel better, and they, let's say they get off of the psychotropics and the black dog returns, what should that person be doing in regard to psychotropics?
What were they doing while they were on them would be my question. Because if you were just taking the meds and you were not focusing on mental transformation and mind renewal, then you weren't really rooting out the black dog in the first place. You were suppressing the symptoms of the black dog.
Is there ever an instance where somebody, pick your emotional issue, it's a depression that is deep, that does need to be on them for life?
I would go back to the God-honoring motivations and taking them legally. Let's say you've tried to wean off twice and it just went poorly both times and you're like, nope, not trying that again.
Fine.
Great. But your focus is not on the medication itself. You don't know what it's doing to your brain, but it seems to be helping you in some way so you can use them in that way for life if you wanted.
What I'm gleaning from this is that these psychotropics, as a principle, let's say not a law perhaps, but as a rule, that they can be used. You use the word crutch or a Band-Aid, but that does not deal with the mind. So use them judiciously so that you can go about the business of soul care.
Absolutely.
All right. Paint a picture for me, if you will, of an individual with ADHD. You've said that typically kids about sixth, seventh grade, they've got ants in their pants, they fidget in school, and they're given a diagnosis, and they're given medication.
Right.
Is there ever an instance with a kid for what we call ADHD to use these psychotropics?
It's interesting because a mom wrote in, I did an episode on Transformed about ADHD, and she asked, should I allow my daughter to use meds to help her focus at school?
By the way, that podcast is also available at FortisPlus.org. If you've never listened to Transformed, you're missing this every single week.
And my answer was, you can, if they are helpful, while your daughter is also recognizing that her giftedness may not match school, and she is having to deny herself and not just depend on the medication to help her focus. Mm-hmm. Some people would say the same thing about coffee. In all seriousness, I need a cup of coffee to kind of get me going and to focus. So we would say, yes, there's, you can do that. You're not in sin for doing that, but recognize that that medication is not going to make you discipline your mind.
Mm-hmm. All right. I watch the commercials that go on for days. If you're suffering from depression, take this medication. And then we get the laundry list of side effects,
right,
which includes suicide.
Right.
Do you believe that there's a connection, a genuine connection between psychotropics and the increase in suicide rates we're seeing in society?
Yeah, I mean, medication madness. I think it's Peter Bregan that wrote specifically on that. Jewish guy, not a Christian, not arguing for biblical worldview, just saying that a lot of the suicidal ideation is connected to psychotropic medications, mm-hmm. especially when alcohol is connected to that in any way.
All right. I would like for you, having said everything that you've said, that we've understood the role of psychotropics, nevertheless, there are Christian parents who perhaps have a child that does need them, or it's God-honoring. They're getting them legally.
Yep.
They're working thoughtfully. Yep. They're consulting with elders. They're doing everything right. And yet they still feel like, this doesn't feel right. I don't want it to be this way for my child. What would you say in that situation?
I would say just zoom out and assess, what are you medicating them for? And most of the time it is ADHD, number one. But then as the child grows up, it's anti-anxiety, you know, panic attacks come and that pill seems to help. What are you medicating them for? Because I think a lot of the ADHD stuff is actually just giftedness. And what's happening is your child doesn't do well in that context. If you have a daughter that's at the point of a panic attack and the only thing that seems to be helping right now is a pill, then I would say, okay, then you can use that pill in a God-honoring and legal way, but you're encouraging her to actually get to the root of what's cultivating anxiety in her life, because she's going to have to discipline her mind. She's going to have to take her thoughts captive. Otherwise, that anxiety will be there for her as soon as she stops taking the medication.
Mm-hmm. Greg Giffert, Life Without the Numb, a demonstration that there are secular folks who are recognizing maybe we should slow our roll a little bit when it comes to prescribing psychotropics because so many of the diagnoses are so arbitrary. A very current article. This is from September 18th, 2025. This is from Zero Hedge. On September 12th, UK child and adolescent psychiatrist Sammy Timimy published, "When mental health diagnoses become brands, the real drivers of our psychic pain are hidden." Now, that was put in the Globe and Mail, a Canadian newspaper. So the word is starting to get out, and it isn't just Christians that are pushing for a conversation on this subject. All definitions of psychiatric disorders are subjective. Now, again, this is coming from a secular psychiatrist who deals with adolescents. All definitions of psychiatric disorders are subjective. You know, it's amazing. You go to a medical doctor, they take an x-ray and say it's this. You bring the x-rays down the hall to another doctor who says it's that. Now, that's more scientific. Psychiatry is anything but scientific. It's observational and subjective. They are not objective facts such as a broken bone is. This means they can be expanded in a myriad of ways to capture a kaleidoscope of distress, alienation, dissatisfaction, and that psychiatric diagnoses are consumer brands, not medical diseases. That is encouraging that we're at least saying, it's broken. All the pills ain't fixing us. They're causing us to be numb. There's got to be a better way. And I think it is Christians and only Christians that can bring the balance to the conversation and offer something that I know the psychiatrists are after because it's baked into their name, soul care. And a pill, it can't fix your soul. Life without the numb, fortisplus.org. Free. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.